Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, clothing or garments have been incredibly important to mankind. You can hardly imagine what it was like before the fall into sin when Adam and Eve walked around naked yet unashamed. To be naked is to be ashamed now, since that moment in time. Garments provide both a hiding of what is shameful from others, a covering, if you will, from the eyes of others. And garments also, from that moment on, have served as symbols of things too. You can think of the animal skins that God covered Adam and Eve with, a symbol of sacrifice to cover sin. Right away, a symbol, but also symbols today too. Rags serve as a symbol of poverty. $1 million suits serve as a symbol of wealth. That's why, at least maybe growing up, you heard the term, put on your Sunday best, or this is a church clothes type of event. And that term came from the fact that someone wanted to give their best garments, their best clothes to God. Unsurprisingly, garments are then all over, not just in the Bible from the time of Adam and Eve, but also all over in the Lord's Passion. In those two chapters we read from Matthew 26 and Matthew 27, the first thing you might think of is Jesus' garments, Jesus' clothes. First thing that happens actually from Palm Sunday procession when Jesus enters into Jerusalem, enters into Holy Week, is journeying toward the cross, is that other people lay their garments down before him, for him to walk on. Maybe next year, instead of palms, we can all bring coats and put our coats down at the cross. Maybe that would be something a little different. But that's what the people did. They took something valuable to them, their Sunday best, if you will, and they laid those down at the feet of Jesus as their king, as their Lord. But oh, how fast things changed. For when Jesus was taken away and seized, he was stripped of his clothes. He was ashamed. And then to mock him as king, first they really did believe him as king, the faithful disciples on that road from the Palm Sunday procession. But then, oh so soon, they mocked him as king. They put on a kingly robe for him, a purple or scarlet robe, maybe like the one I'm wearing right now. A very nice, fancy robe. But then they put on him a crown, not a crown of gold, but a crown of thorns. And they mocked him as king. Ashamed him as king. And of course, there is great irony in that. Because all the while they were mocking him as a fake king, he truly was. Truly, I say to you, amen, I say to you, he was their king, and he is your king. He is the king of heaven and earth. But then, not so soon after that, they stripped that robe off of him and put his own clothes back on him, only so that when they seized him, mocked him, beat him, and then put him on the cross, they stripped him once again. Total, absolute shame. He hung there naked on the cross so that they could play a dice game, cast lots to divide their clothes amongst him. It is an opposite image of what happens in the garden when God clothes Adam and Eve. Instead of God giving Adam and Eve godly clothing, ungodly men are stripping the true God of his clothing. And then finally, we get this one garment at the end of the story. Whenever Joseph of Arimathea comes and gathers the body from Jesus, he wraps Jesus in a clean linen shroud. That clean linen shroud that gives us that little bit of hope at the end of the Passion reading. That little bit of reminder that Easter is coming next week on Sunday. That cloth that is for us a baptismal cloth, a symbol of pure, white, beautiful purity, a symbol of resurrection from the dead. Because when he rises from the dead, that cloth will be there. And when children and adults are baptized in the future generations of the church, they will don and be given also a white resurrection cloth because they have risen with Jesus. And so we go from shame to resurrection, from sin to purity, from uncleanness to a clean linen shroud. But that's not the only garment in the Passion. There is another garment, another godly garment. We talked about God's clothes, the clothes of Jesus. But God has another garment that he also put there in the Passion story. When Christ yielded up his spirit, there is one thing that happens. It's the first thing that's listed right after Jesus dies. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Now, to fully understand this, remember that one of the common practices in the Bible, whenever someone was extremely upset or grieved over something or wanted to show repentance over something, was that they would rip their garments open. You actually see in the Passion story that the high priest does this whenever his trial of Jesus, his kind of mock trial of Jesus, does not go according to plan. He gets so upset, he rips his high priestly garment. They would rend their garments because they were grieved, because they were upset that things were not right. Now, whose garment is the temple cloth? Who put that veil up there to separate the Holy of Holies from the holy place? It was God. God put that garment in place. He gave the instructions to Solomon to build the temple. And what was that garment for? It was to separate an unholy people from their holy God. The Holy of Holies was that place in God's temple that was separate from the rest of the temple. It was divided into three places. You had the Holy of Holies, you had the holy place, and then you had the common area outside. And only once a year would the high priest go into the Holy of Holies to make the sacrifice of the spotless lamb on the Day of Atonement. And it was such a dangerous activity to be that close to God's holy presence that they would actually tie a rope around the guy's ankle so that in case he died when he was in there, they could get his body out. That was how holy this Holy of Holies was, and that's why God had to separate it off with a garment. And so, when the temple garment is rent, when it is torn in two from top to bottom, and who causes that to happen but God himself, what is God doing? He is rending his clothes. He is showing grief over what has happened on the cross. He rended, he ripped his clothes, his garments, because he was grieved over the death of his perfect son. Over his death. The death of Jesus Christ, true God and true man. We often think of how Jesus suffered when he went to pray at Gethsemane, "Lord, if you will, take this cup from me," how Jesus suffered under the whips and under the mockery and under the beatings, and how he suffered when he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" But also know that the Father suffered too. Because of the corruption of sin in this world, because of Adam and Eve's sin, because of your sin, because of my sin, the Father killed his Son. What a sacrifice. What a grieving moment that God himself would rip his garment in two. The Father had to give a sacrifice for the sin of the world. And so look at that garment torn in two. Look at that temple cloth ripped from top to bottom and realize how God grieves over each and every one of your sins. Realize how much he hates it when his people turn to him and what it cost him. What he had to go through and what he had to send his Son to do. This Holy Week, look deep in your heart and look at your life and look at your decisions and your thoughts and your ways and your actions and your words and repent. Repent that the Lord had to go through that. And then ask for forgiveness and receive absolution. Because at the same time that temple garment torn in two shows you the grief of sin, it also shows you how much God loves you. That the Father would send his Son to die for you, to die in your place, to experience the wrath and separation from God that you should have experienced, that he did that for you, that he bore your shame, that Jesus hung naked on the cross instead of you, that his garments were ripped off of him instead of yours, off of you. You got to remain clothed. And rejoice that he shares with you that clean linen shroud from the tomb of resurrection. And then also look at that temple garment torn in two once more and realize what else it symbolizes. Not only was God ripping his garment to show his grief over sin and the death of his Son, but it showed another purpose too. Because when you rip a piece of clothing like that, you can't just sew it back up again. It was not ripped along the seam in a nice, neat line. It was not a garment that had a nice zipper installed so you could take it on and off. Once it was ripped, it was ripped. And that temple garment, that veil, it was to be no more. For Christ's work on the cross did something else that day. It fulfilled every single Old Testament ritual law. No more blood of goats and bulls and lambs to be sacrificed there daily or yearly on those altars. No more a thick garment to separate an unholy people from their holy God. For the blood of Christ was perfect, and it was a sacrifice once for all, no more need for daily or yearly sacrifices. It was the perfect blood to cleanse all people perfectly so that people could be holy and be with their holy God. It was whenever that temple curtain ripped open, an opening up of God to his people and of the people to their God. You can see it in how we design churches today. There is no big garment here. No big stage curtain covering it up so you can't see what's up here. No, the holy place and the holy of holies, they are open to each other. And from this holy of holies comes Christ's own body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Comes his word preached for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Comes his water poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. A holy people with their holy God opened up, wide open, love outpouring, a cup overflowing of grace and mercy and peace and comfort for you every day, all the time, once for all. The Old Testament temple, you had to go there, you had to sacrifice. There was the rituals if you wanted to be near your God. Now it is simple. If you want to be near your God, there is only one place to go. The one who said, "Destroy this temple. I will destroy this temple. I will rip open this temple," said Jesus. "And in 3 days, I will make a new temple, not made with hands." The temple was his body. The temple was Jesus. Jesus was not only the sacrifice, he was also the priest. Not only the priest, he was also the temple itself. And so go to your temple, Jesus, this Holy Week. Come and find Jesus this Holy Week. Come and find the one who has all the garments you need, who has washed your garments with his blood and made them clean. Come find him in his word, come find him in his sacrament, and come to your temple. That's what this week, this most holy week of all of the year, is all about. Being at your temple, being with Jesus, having the garments that he made for you. You can hear it in the hymn that we sang just a little bit ago. "Your blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before your throne, your righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as your own bride shall we be brought to stand in joy beside you." To him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen.